Thanks very much, Mark. If you want to keep your Bibles open to Deuteronomy 4, that's where we're going to be spending our time tonight. Let me start with a very direct question for us all. What are you doing here? I want you to be here. Don't take that the wrong way. But really, what is it that brought you here tonight? Think about the process today that leads you to be sitting here in this building tonight. Why is it that you're here rather than just going straight to Crow's Nest and getting your dinner, or going to the pub, or going to a movie with your friends? What brought you here to St. Thomas's this night? Maybe it was habit. Maybe a sense of discipline and compulsion brought you here. Maybe you're visiting with us tonight, and throughout the last weeks and days, you've been thinking, after many years, or maybe for the first time, this is the week I'm going to walk into a church building and see what on earth goes on inside one of those sandstone places. And you're very welcome here with us. Maybe you're rostered on tonight and that's why you're here. I was rostered on to preach. That explains my presence. I'm also paid to be here. There are other reasons. There are all sorts of reasons why people come to church. For the friends, the fellowship, getting to know other people who are like you. A community group, catching up, networking, maybe the experience, the religious, cultural experience, the sense of the attachment to traditions, walking into a beautiful building like this and having an awe-inspiring moment that sends you out into your week, or maybe the buzz, the uplifting feeling you get from church that sends you out into your life, into your week. Maybe that's why you're here. We need to get this right. Because unless we get this right, I think we're sort of wasting each other's time here. Unless we know why it is that we gather this place, some of us every week, some of us for years and years, we heard Hannah 12 years gathering. Why has Hannah been coming here for the last 12 years? This evening we're continuing on a series thinking through who we are as God's people, who we are as the church. And we've called it a people of the Word and the Spirit. And this evening, we've just had read for us by Mark the beginning of a sermon by Moses. It's going to be one of those weird experiences where I get to preach a sermon on a sermon. So the ultimate sort of plagiarism, stealing someone else's material. They're on the very edge of the Promised Land, and Moses speaks to them after 40 years of wandering the desert, after years of disobedience, after years of God's provision for them when they didn't deserve it, having rescued them from slavery. They're now on the very edge of the Promised Land. Moses is an old man, and he gathers them together to preach to them. And he preaches to them in this sermon about what Moses calls the day of the church. He says to the people, "Let me tell you about the day of the church." Because what happened on the day of the church will set your path, will set your feet on solid rock when you enter into this promised land. They stand on the edge, the verge of Jordan, about to enter the promised land. And this critical moment, Moses says to them, "Remember what happened on the day of the church." And the big thing that Moses wants to say in this sermon is that what we learn from the day of the church is that being part of God's people has always been about hearing, not seeing. You only understand one thing I've said tonight, that's it. That's the big point of Moses' sermon. Being in relationship with this God, knowing this God, has always been about hearing, not seeing. And you see that right at the very beginning of this passage that was read for us. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1, he begins his sermon, "Hear now, O Israel. Hear the commands of the Lord that were given to me on that mountain on that day. Hear the commands, obey these commands and live." There's plenty of seeing in this passage though, isn't there? There's a lot of seeing. Have a look down at verses 3 and 4. "You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal. They saw, they destroyed, but they were the faithful ones who lived. And you saw amazing things." Verse 9, watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your hearts as long as you live. Yet Moses is really insistent here that seeing is not the defining feature of their life. Seeing is not what is at the heart of being one of God's children, but hearing. Moses draws their minds back 40 years to when God's people gathered at Mount Sinai, at Horeb, as it's sometimes called. And he invites them, and through God's word, invites us to come with him back to that day. And Moses says, "You were there. You were there," which is actually not true. Many of the people that Moses spoke to on that day weren't there. This is 40 years ago. And those that were there were probably too young to remember. And yet listen to how Moses speaks, verse 10. "Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb." They didn't. They weren't there. Verse 11, "You stood at the foot of the mountain." No. Verse 12, "The Lord spoke to you." No, he didn't. Yet that day around the mountain was so foundational for God's people, so fundamental to who they are, who God has formed them to be, that God can say to these people who weren't there, "You were there spiritually. You were there in solidarity with the people, your forebears." And the word spoken to them then was written down for you now. It's the same for us with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We can say boldly, "I was there when they crucified my Lord. I was there when he rose from the grave." So those events are so foundational that spiritually we were present when they took place. So it was for Israel on that day, and Moses calls it the day of the church. Have a look carefully with me at verse 10. I want you to see something here that's going to make all the difference, I think. Verse 10. "Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb," at Mount Sinai, "when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me.'" Literally, he says, "Gather the people before me," or to use the modern word, our word, "church the people together." Church, this is going to rely upon you having learnt grammar at some point in your life. Apologies if you haven't. Church is always a verb before it becomes a noun. Church is something God does. Church is God gathering his people into the church. Not the building, but gathering people from all the lands here and gathering people from Israel, choosing them for his very own, gathering them to himself at this mountain, churching them together. And this is a phrase that goes on through the book of Deuteronomy, which is just more and more of Moses' sermons. If you've got your Bibles there, just go over to chapter 9, verse 10. Moses says this, 9 verse 10, "The Lord gave me two stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly," literally, on the day of the church. Or 10 verse 4, "out of the fire, on the day of the church." So this day, this one day, Moses says, was the day of the church. And Stephen, just before he gets stoned in the book of Acts, Stephen calls out and he says, "Moses was in the church in the desert with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai with our fathers. He received living words." Moses says this was the church in the desert. And the church in the desert tells you and I what we ought to be doing at church today. Because the purpose of church, the purpose of gathering, hasn't changed from Mount Sinai to St. Thomas's, North Sydney. What was the church? The church was the gathering of God's saved people brought to him to hear his word and obey it. The saved people of God brought to him to hear his word and obey it. So what happened at church? Was it to see and touch? Well, look at verse 11 back in Deuteronomy 4. It was pretty spectacular. You would remember it if you were there. Verse 11, you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain. It blazed with fire to the very heavens. Black clouds and deep darkness. What an amazing experience that would have been. That's a church experience. Blazing fire, black clouds, deep darkness. But what Moses says is that the most important thing on that day, full of visual spectacular, the most important thing was that on that day, you heard the word of God. It was an audio-visual spectacular, but Moses says only the audio really mattered. Verse 12, the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he gives the word written down. He declares to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commands you to follow, writes them on two tablets. On the day of the church, they heard the word of God spoken and they had it written down for them for all generations. And that was why God gathered them, so they might hear these words, obey them, and live long in the land. What they saw mattered far less than what they heard and what was written down from what they heard. One author who's written a commentary on this book puts it like this. This might be one of those quotes that makes things more complicated rather than less complicated. If it is, ignore it and listen to me rather than the quote. But this is Chris Wright. The ear, as the organ of understanding and obedience in relation to the spoken word of God, is more religiously and ethically significant than the eye. That is, Christians, our religion, our spirituality is about hearing, not seeing. About hearing, not experiencing. And on the day of the church, they were gathered to hear the word of God. And church then is the same as church today. It's the gathering of the saved people of God to hear the word of God and to call each other to obey it. Let's come back to that question we asked at the beginning. Why are you here tonight? If you're a Christian, God has gathered you together with his people to hear his word and encourage others to obey it. That's why we gather. To hear God's word read, to hear God's word preached, to hear God's word sung, and to respond by encouraging each other to obey it. It's not something we just do in the sermon. It's something we do as we each speak to one another. I want you to now just take a little moment to think about someone else that you know in this church. Someone else who maybe you have a very brief relationship with, maybe virtually no relationship, maybe you've known them for 20 years. I want you to think very intentionally about that person and think about the encouragement from God's word that you want to bring to them immediately after this service. What encouragement to hear God's word and obey God's word do you have for that person? Maybe from what you've been reading in your own quiet times, your Bible reading at home, maybe what you heard in youth group, maybe what you heard in this sermon or a previous sermon, something from God's word that you want to use to encourage someone else in this building tonight to hear and obey. Because that's why we gather, to hear God's word and put it into practice. But all of this, I think, makes church a very dangerous place to be. Because every time you hear the word of God, you're called to obey it. Which means every time you hear the word of God is a chance to disobey it. and harden your heart. Moses said, you remember what happens when you hear God's word and refuse to obey it. You can remember the 20,000 who died in the desert on that one day. Take a moment now, just think of that person. They may not be present. They may be someone you want to talk to afterwards, call, message, whatever. Take a moment to think of that person, and then we're going to look together a little bit more about Deuteronomy 4. The Christian gathering, the church, is made up of those who have been saved by Christ, brought together, gathered to hear his word and to call each other to obey it. And by the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Spirit, we are transformed into God's holy people and sent out from this building to the world around us. See, some will think of church, and if you were here at the end of last year, you saw a diagram that we had up that described this. Some think of church like this, as inquisitive people coming in the door to ascend through ceremony or through experience, ascend into the presence of God. Coming in to go up, if you like, to God. The church is exactly the opposite of that. The church is God by his word speaking down to us as his people and sending us out into the world. Now, the word of God's grace gathers us from the nations, it teaches us and it scatters us with the Spirit, with the word, into the world. And that's exactly what Moses expected of ancient Israel. Look with me at verse 6. Transformed by the word of the Spirit, going out. Moses says, observe these commands carefully, verse 6. For this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Moses is saying to them, if you hear this word, if you put it into practice, the nations will look at you and go, what an amazing people. Not because of who they are, because of the God they have. The God who is near to them, who when we pray, hears. Who has laws and decrees that work in people's lives so that lives are transformed and made better. And as people see that transformation, as people see that hope, they'll say, I need to know that God. Now, Peter puts it like this, doesn't he? Where he says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Do people see the transformed hope of your lives and ask for an explanation? That's what we need to be doing together as a church. Being so transformed by the word of God, so shaped by God's Spirit through his word, that we live lives that cause people to ask questions. That cause people to look at us and see us in all our frailty here at St. Thomas's, in all our brokenness, and yet seeing through us to a gracious and loving God. And all of that happens as we hear and obey. But the great danger is this. The great danger is that we'll go back from hearing to see. To go back from hearing to sight. And that's exactly what Moses goes on to talk about in the rest of Deuteronomy 4. Let's just look at a couple of verses. Don't panic. We're not going to unpack the rest of Deuteronomy 4 in all its glory. But let's just look at a couple of verses. Verse 15. You saw no form of any kind on the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very closely so you don't become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape. Don't be people who have been gathered together by the God who speaks a word and be deceived into people who can worship something they see and make with their own hands. Idolatry is the very opposite of true Christian spirituality. Verse 19, don't be enticed. It is a temptation, but don't be enticed into bowing down to them and worshipping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all the nations under heaven. You are the Lord's inheritance. I don't think you and I are tempted greatly to find ourselves worshipping stone statues, ancient fertility gods in the forms of animals. That's not the seeing things that we're inclined to run after. But how easy is it to be tempted to live for what we see rather than obeying what we hear? Our sight is so powerful. The thing that we want to live for is so tangible. The possession, the work, the beauty, the relationships, the experience, all so very vivid, so very real before us. Moses says then to Israel, and he says to us tonight, do not be enticed to worship what you see. And hearing is the antidote to idolatry. Hearing is the antidote to the deceit of sight. But it's hard, and so we gather. We keep on gathering. We keep on hearing again and again and again. There's probably nothing that I've said tonight that, if you've been around church for very long, nothing I've said tonight that is new or remarkable. Why then have I bothered to say it? Because we need to remember. Because the struggle is hard. The sight is so vivid, and the hearing seems to pass away so quickly. We are the people of God gathered by Jesus by hearing God's grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and idolatry, gathered to hear the word, to hear it read, to hear it taught, to hear it sung, and to encourage each other to obey. And we wait for a day when we'll be gathered again by Jesus. Gathered, we're now gathered by faith. As Chase taught last week, we're gathered by faith. We're seated with Christ, gathered by him around the heavenly Jerusalem, around Mount Zion. Spiritually we are gathered, but we await that day when we're not just gathered by faith, by trusting the word of God that tells us that that is true, but once on that day and then for all eternity, we will see our hope. We will see Christ. We will see his glory. Not just reading of it, not just hearing of it, not just trusting that it's true, but we, with our eyes, we'll see it. Not only then hearing and believing, but seeing our Lord in all his glory, gathered by him around his throne. What we've heard in his word, we'll then see with our eyes. So what do we do in church? We meet to hear God's word and to encourage each other to press on as we see the day approaching. How about I pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, that you don't leave us in the darkness. You don't leave us simply to live for our own idols, things we make with our own hands, our own effort, but we live for something better and bigger and truer than all of that. We thank you that your word points us to Jesus, his goodness, his faithfulness to us. We long for that day when we will not just hear of him, not just read of him in your word, but we will see him. We'll see him in his glory and we'll be raised spotless in him. Preserve us to that day. Enable us here at St. Thomas's to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.